The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October is a timely, downloadable resource designed for Bible classes. It's titled Called to Vote, A Christian's Approach to Elections. Called to Vote is written by Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Ken Sherb. You can find out more and download Called to Vote on every page of our website, issuesetc.org. Called to Vote, A Christian's Approach to Elections, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, issuesetc.org.
I'm very, very serious about my Catholicism, and Hillary views that as a real asset.
Even to say to someone, do you want to have children, or do you want to have another? That is pro-choice language.
So if a student encounters a professor who's interested in gender, race, and class, or LGBT issues, and those issues are going to be the defining frameworks for looking at the past, probably there's a progressive agenda at work.
The more we pray that, come Lord Jesus, the more we are freed to love God and serve our neighbor in the way we conduct ourselves as citizens.
Canadian Pipers love Issues, etc.
Well, if I had to name off the top of my head, wake me up at 3 o'clock in the morning, one of the most ardent, one of the most dug in supporters of GOP presidential candidate Donald Trump, probably the first name that would come to me would be a famous one, Jerry Falwell Jr. Not as famous as his famous father, but following in his father's footsteps as president of Liberty University, he is outspoken. There does not appear to be much that Donald Trump can do to lose his support, although he is doing his best to thread the needle, especially with his student body. Even one of his Board of Regents or Board of Control members early on resigned over his support for Donald Trump. Now, laying aside the matters of politics, Jerry Falwell Jr. recently yanked a story out of the school's official student newspaper, the Liberty Champion, that was an editorial critical of Donald Trump. Now, that's a move in not just administration, but in journalism as well. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. Live on this Wednesday afternoon, October the 19th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about Jerry Falwell Jr.'s rejection of an anti-Trump column in Liberty University student newspaper. Terry Mattingly will be our guest for the first half hour or so of the program. After that, Dr. Justin Buckley Dyer joins us. We're going to talk about C.S. Lewis. Everybody talks about C.S. Lewis, but C.S. Lewis is often understood to be an apolitical theologian of the 20th century. While he might have been apolitical in his actions, he certainly had a lot of political thought, and we'll talk about his ideas on politics and public affairs. And then we're going to spend some time with Dr. Thomas Korchak, part five of our series on classroom apologetics. We will be in the education classroom, Education 101, talking about some of the 20th century theories of education that prevail in the classroom and not always to the betterment of students or teachers. You can join us for the next 2 hours with your questions or your comments, 1-877-623-MY-IE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Or you can also send us a tweet at IssuesETC. Use the Issues Etc. comment line if you're an on-demand listener, 618-223-8382. Terry Mattingly is a regular guest. He's senior fellow for media and religion at the King's College in New York City. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, and he is founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, welcome back.
Good to be here.
What journalism issue has been raised by Jerry Falwell? He is president of Liberty University. I suppose he has this authority to do so in yanking the anti-Trump column from the student newspaper. What journalism issue?
Well, I would primarily word it that it's an issue in Christian higher education more than journalism per se. As you just said, he is the publisher and in some degrees the owner of the newspaper that he's controlling. And while lots of people regret what he did, the Student Press Law Center and other groups have made it pretty clear that at private colleges, both on the left and the right, administrators are pretty free to do this. As the old saying goes, freedom of the press belongs to people who own one. And in this case, Falwell owns this particular printing press. Now, So there's really no journalism question here in terms about what he did and whether he had a right to do it. What's interesting to me is the degree to which mainstream media covering this story don't seem to realize that he has the right to do this. And also, they don't seem to realize that many, many other private school college leaders, both on the cultural and educational left, as well as on the right, limit what their student publications can cover, frankly, quite frequently. I find that to be quite regrettable, but there are lots of efforts to kind of follow this and to document it. So it's not uncommon at all for private schools to limit freedom of the press on their campuses. There's even a valid reason for that on some issues that I have to try to drum into my students, since, you know, 99% of my students come from Christian college environments. And simply stated, Christian colleges also have issues with privacy laws. And a lot of the cases that get student newspapers in trouble on Christian college campuses, in particular private school campuses in general, have to do with issues that are affected by privacy, such as discipline cases. I guess the nightmare case for your typical administrator or campus editor is that you have a popular campus faculty member fired. This happens all the time, unfortunately. The problem is, how can the students write a story, a news story, about this firing without it raising the question of why? At that point, the campus can't address why without breaking privacy laws in conjunction with their relationship with this faculty member. Christian colleges also get into issue where you have students disciplined. Maybe a student is expelled, and then there's all kinds of gossip on the campus about why the student was expelled. The administration at that point can't fight the gossip because they can't discuss what the reasons were without violating the student's privacy. At state schools, you have a much more clear situation involving laws about this, and frankly, newspapers have a lot more freedom. So what we really are discussing here is an issue of how much journalism can you do on a private school campus, specifically a Christian one, and was Falwell's actions wise in that context?
Okay, I think I'm going to play devil's advocate. I'm not sure here. You can tell me after the question's done. Someone might argue, look, Jerry Falwell certainly has the authority to do this because he is a publisher of that student newspaper, and we'll talk about the prudence of him doing that in a moment. But as a private school, they would want to prohibit certain kinds of things published in the student newspaper on issues that make them a private school. Like if someone was going to write an editorial blatantly in favor of partial birth abortion or something like that, mm-hmm. Jerry Falwell pulls it. I completely understand it because I'm sure there's something in their private school code that would cover that as well. But this was an editorial critical of Donald Trump. Is there a difference there?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of difference there. Normally, in addition to these private school situations involving discipline cases, in the post that I wrote about this at Get Religion, I talked about what is I often refer to as the unholy triangle of news on private campuses, and that simply stated is things related to sex, campus finances, and then a really hot button one, behind-the-scenes relationships with donors, and specifically what goes on with donations to the school, when donations get canceled, when donations get made, and why. The phrase quid pro quo is in the news lately. This would be another case of that. That's normally where the problems are. Then you made a reference to something else. What happens when students openly attack the rules, regulations, and doctrinal teachings of the school itself? In effect, you have students attacking the very covenant documents that they voluntarily signed in order to join the school. I think the larger issue there is, are private schools doing enough to alert students ahead of time to the actual contents of these lifestyle and doctrinal statements. You and I have discussed this before. I think it is perfectly valid for mainstream reporters to ask this question. Do students who go to Liberty know what they're losing in terms of personal freedoms when they choose to go there? If you flip that around onto the liberal side, do evangelical students know the liberties and freedoms they're giving up when they choose to go to a private school such as Vanderbilt or Harvard? In other words, the rules apply on the left as well as on the right. What makes this Falwell case so unique and kind of disturbing and hard to think about is that it seems that this is a political case. He's censoring, a publisher can't censor something. He's preventing the publication of something in his own newspaper of discussion of a political decision he's made. I just want to raise here as a possibility, though, that the situation may be more complex than that. You made a reference to a member of the Board of Trustees coming out against Falwell's personal endorsement of Trump and suggesting, as the students also said, that Falwell's name can't be separated from the reality of Liberty because of his father's role in creating the school and building the school. Thus, it's hard for him to say, I'm doing this as a private individual when his very name screams out the identity of the school. At that point, here's what I think personally is going on here. To what degree is debate about Falwell and Trump now actually an issue in the running of Liberty University? And to what degree is Falwell's action best seen not in terms of American politics, but in terms of debates in private settings behind doors in the context of Liberty itself? And in that case, his motivation, I'm not saying I agree with it, his motivation might have been, well, hey, I'm helping protect my school from this argument getting out of control. That makes sense?
Yeah, he did give some reason, if I'm not mistaken. You actually quote the tweet.
Yeah.
And he's basically said, the column was redundant. We've heard this before. I saw a column that covers ground that's already been covered, and I cut it. It's that simple. What do you make of that?
I laughed at it just right now, and I laughed at it when I read it. If you wanted to test what's actually going on here, you would do what I actually tell my students when we get involved in cases in some ways similar to this. I've actually advised student newspapers on two private Christian college campuses, so I have some experience here. I've also talked, consulted, or worked with probably leaders from 50 different Christian colleges in America, and our discussions have veered into this territory. And several times a year, I lecture on this topic in a lecture that I call Up Against the Wall, Getting Along with Private School Administrators. This is an area of great concern to me, and I'll be very open in stating that my goal is to teach students how to do as much journalism as they possibly can within the educational realities of their own campus. The simple fact is that Christian colleges and private colleges in general do not deal with these kinds of issues in a consistent way. They end up falling into a number of different models of how to handle their student paper that we don't have time to discuss right now. What I tell my students is, instead of bumping into your administration by writing splashy first-person editorials where you kind of just shout your 21-year-old mind's contents at the world, why not actually attempt to do something significant, something that will also help build your own journalism skills? And that is, why not try to write a real story about this situation? Why not approach Liberty administrators and say to them, we have a controversy here, the students have said this, a trustee has said this, our president has said this. How can we go about writing an actual news report that quotes people on both sides of this debate in our campus and Christian community, that quotes them on the record, right out front, and let's see what people actually believe and the arguments they're actually making. Now, if you try to write that news story and you're prevented from doing so, now we have a completely different level of problem.
What's different about that?
Well, it's more of an educational issue. Can you see that? I mean, it's one thing to say that a student can't just write his own personal opinions and publish it in the paper. The marketplace, the skill-level marketplace of students writing first-person columns in which they shout their opinions like on Facebook, that's not a huge educational hurdle. Do you see my point? But sitting down with the help of professors as a part of an educational process and trying to learn how to write real journalism copy about this kind of controversy in which both sides are treated with respect and both sides of the arguments see their views quoted accurately, that's the most important journalism skill there is. So you could make a case that students can get into a lot of trouble writing editorials, just shouting their opinions, which is normally what they do from my own personal experience. But what are they getting out of that educationally other than some sort of theoretical debate about free speech on a private campus? That may be important, but it's nowhere near as important as actually attempting to do journalism in the context of a student newspaper and in the educational context of a journalism program that's trying to help Christian students discern their own vocation and calling, and build their skills in ways that help them go into the mainstream press. So all I'm saying is my goal is to try to do as much journalism as possible in the context of these individual schools. And in trying to do that journalism, frankly, you learn a lot about what the actual values of the administration are when it comes to Christian faith, vocation, and education.
Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about Jerry Falwell Jr.'s rejection of an anti-Trump column in Liberty University's student newspaper on this Wednesday afternoon. About 10 minutes more with him. Then we're going to talk about C.S. Lewis on politics and public affairs, natural law included, with Dr. Justin Buckley Dyer. And then Dr. Thomas Korchak will be our guest for part 5 of our series, Classroom Apologetics. We'll be in the education classroom. Stay tuned. Are you looking for Christmas cards that combine beautiful art with a clear Christian confession? Emmanuel Press offers Christ-centered, affordable cards in a variety of designs. You'll find cards with stained glass, illumination, German frescoes, and other unique artwork found only at Emmanuel Press. Visit their website, emmanuelpress.us, E-M-M-A-N-U-E-L, press.us.
Are you a homeschool parent looking for help teaching certain subjects? Or do you want your student to study the history, languages, and literature of Western civilization? Memoria Press Online Academy has live online classes with master teachers to help you. Their teachers have years of experience teaching, delighting, and moving students literally from all around the world. Your homeschool year doesn't have to be difficult. Visit MemoriaPressAcademy.com or call 877-745-8866.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October is a timely, downloadable resource designed for Bible classes. It's titled Called to Vote, A Christian's Approach to Elections. Called to Vote is written by Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Ken Sherb. You can find out more and download Called to Vote on every page of our website, issuesetc.org. Called to Vote, A Christian's Approach to Elections, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Terry Mattingly is our guest, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate. Terry, I guess it brings up a question, you answered it in part before the break, but what is a student newspaper for on a university campus?
That's actually a brilliant question, because you answer that question and you get right into the heart of all of these competing models on the campuses. So, great. Let me delve right into that. The simple fact of the matter is that some private school campuses view the student newspaper primarily as an extension of their public relations department. It appears, for example, at Liberty, that President Falwell or someone in his office is actually screening the paper in advance of publication to see what is acceptable and what isn't. That would be one of the most stringent policies I've seen at private schools and would certainly meet this kind of public relations-oriented model. That may be someone in his office. It may be a professor on campus who still is expected to read the paper and view it with some kind of public relations mindset. At most private schools, what you have instead is a journalism professor who has, to one degree or another, some power over the contents of the paper. But when I would wrestle with students over what got in the paper and what didn't get in the paper, 99.9% of our arguments focused on whether I thought the story was good enough, whether they had, in fact, succeeded in talking to representative voices on both sides of a story. I felt my goal was to help them get as much content into the paper as they could within the reality of private school rules and also, frankly, once again, those privacy issues that keep popping up. I mean, even in the current Falwell situation, I predict that if push came to shove, Falwell would end up saying, I can't discuss a lot of what's going on here because it's private discussions between myself and other school administrators or other school leaders. He would make some sort of privacy defense. So is the purpose of this paper, is it strictly public relations, or is it educational in the sense that the student newspaper is a tool in which students and faculty wrestle with the skills and questions related to doing journalism? I obviously argue for the second model. And frankly, that's not a pretty picture sometimes. It's kind of like building a college football team. You know, you spend 2 or 3 years building a quarterback, building his skills up, getting him to where you trust him. He plays really, really well, and then he leaves. And then the very next year, the administration expects the new quarterback to play as well. The same thing happens with student writers and student editors. Quite simply, we work with students, they evolve, they make mistakes, they learn from their mistakes, we correct the mistakes, and the work goes on. And then they leave, and then you start over to one degree or another. Over and over, this process is repeated. You cannot eliminate mistakes from student publications. That's just part of what goes on, just like you can't eliminate mistakes from, freshman term papers. It's a part of learning that you make mistakes, you correct, and you move forward. However, the administration, to some degree, let's look at it from their perspective for a second. The administration sometimes has to live with the results of those mistakes. A student makes a mistake in a story about a Board of Trustee meeting, and the president has to deal with upset trustees. A student makes a mistake in a story about sensitive negotiations linked to a donation that's being made to the school. And the administration may literally have to deal with the results of a mistake in terms of lost money. I've heard of cases where that happened. But your question again, to restate it, is the newspaper part of the public relations department, or is it part of an educational effort? In almost every single private school I've ever seen, you don't have the third option, which is where the student newspaper is a separate corporation and entity that is not controlled by the state university, the way you would have, last time I checked, with, say, the Daily Texan at the University of Texas, the Daily Illini at the University of Illinois, where I did my graduate school work. You have independent papers related to some of these schools. I'm not aware of that model being used much in private schools. So we're back to the first two. Is it public relations or is it journalism education?
You mentioned earlier in our conversation, we got a couple minutes here, Terry, that media coverage of this story of Jerry Falwell Jr.'s actions here as administrator of Liberty University are missing the fact that what he did here is perfectly legal and perfectly kosher and happens all the time. What does that tell you about their coverage of this? Is it just because it's Jerry Falwell Jr., Donald Trump, and what are we now 3 weeks from an election?
Well, part of it is that it's politics. And once again, politics is real, politics is important, and you have names like Trump and Falwell involved in this, as you just said. It could be that you also have editors who don't know the legal realities of private schools. I'd like to praise a story that ran at the website Inside Higher Ed, which did a story about this, in which, like some people, they also reprinted the student's column. But they also called up someone at the Student Press Law Center and actually had that person lay out both sides of this coin. One is that Liberty had every right, or administrators at Liberty had every right to do this. The question is, in the Internet age, is it possible to stop something from ultimately from being published? In other words, did Falwell, in his actions, actually end up calling more attention to this column than if the column had been published the way, let's say, I would have wanted it published, which is a part of a pro and con debate where a student on each side writes the column and then someone else writes the opposite point of view and students get to kind of see both sides. I would recommend that be done, but only, let me stress again, only after students have made an attempt to do actual news writing and reporting about this controversy. Try to learn how to do journalism first, then go on to writing editorials and personal opinion stuff. Try to learn to handle the facts of these stories and the sensitive viewpoints of people on both sides in as accurate and respectful manner as possible. Get the journalism done first.
Terry Mattingly is Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, and he's founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, thank you very much for being our guest.
Glad to be here.
On the other side of the break, we're going to be talking about C.S. Lewis, which is not an unusual thing for us to do. Very influential writer, Christian writer and thinker from the 20th century. He's often portrayed as being apolitical, but that does not mean that he did not have political thoughts, ideas on public affairs, and even natural law. We'll talk with Dr. Justin Buckley Dyer after this.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club in October, and we'll send you a limited edition Here I Stand t-shirt. Find out more about our monthly or annual giving program at issuesetc.org. Just click the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses, or call Craig 618-223-8385. Join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by Reformation Day, and we'll send you a limited edition long sleeve shirt along with your other membership benefits. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth, Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Smartest listeners in radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Christ Lutheran is a welcoming congregation in Rochester, Minnesota, providing traditional liturgy and hymns, word and sacraments. Call 507-289-0271. That's 507-289-0271. Or visit ChristRochester.org. Christ Lutheran Church, receiving and sharing Christ's mercy.
When you say, "I am baptized," you are in fact saying, "Jesus died for me."
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Now that work of Christ for you is given to you in baptism.
Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel, live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.